Across the ASEAN, only on Money FM 89.3.
If you want an indicator of just how strange markets have behaved in the last couple of weeks, you have to take a look at the PSEI out in Manila. And after experiencing significant losses in the last half of January, it seems that the market seemed to have found a second wind and picked itself back up off the ground, even though the country reported one of its deepest economic contractions in decades. Does this have anything to do with a potential upending of how people trade based on the Reddit retail frenzy from a few weeks ago? Well, to answer all of these questions, we're joined once again by Mr. Ron Acoba. He's the chief investment strategist of Trading Edge Consultancy and also one of the noted market technicians out in Manila. He's here to talk to us about everything regarding Philippine markets on Across the ASEAN. Ron, glad to hear you're able to join us and that you and your loved ones are still in good health and safe during these times. And welcome back to the show.
Hi, JP. Thank you for having me.
Again, as you mentioned, the last 2 weeks have been fairly interesting for Philippine markets. On one hand, you had the GDP release that showed the economy contracting by 9.5%. To put that into context, it's the worst since the 1940s. But then you also saw shares of the broader PSE rise at the end of last month, with a strong uptick in retail activity happening almost in lockstep with that Reddit frenzy out on Wall Street. What did you make of the last 2 weeks of trading out in the Philippines? And how would you make sense of the dour economic print related diverging from that strong retail optimism?
Well, first and foremost, economic data such as the GDP, we consider it as a lagging indicator. Well, the performance of a stock exchange, any stock exchange for that matter, treated as one of the best leading indicators of a country's economy. So obviously, 2020, the Philippines and most other economies, if not all, saw their steepest slide in decades due to the pandemic. So unless the actual data veers away from consensus estimates to the point that forward estimates should be downgraded as well, it shouldn't really impact how the market is doing at that particular point. If I remember correctly, the negative 9.5% print came at the worst end of the government's target for the year, but still pretty much at the range. On the other end, what the PSEI has started to price in is the possible earnings and output recovery for 2021. What's interesting, though, is that in the past 2 weeks, the index has actually stalled around 7,000 level. One of the primary reasons while we are observing this is that the consensus fundamental target for the year, at least back in January when we did the initial estimate, was only at 7,240. And this 7,240 target is already for the rest of the year. So it essentially leaves it with little to no upside. However, recently, though, this number has been upgraded to 7.5 from originally 7.240, which suggests that a more sustained rally may be in the offing. You mentioned a while ago that there appears to be an increase in retail activity, especially with regards to more speculative issues. For me, I'm not really surprised that such events are happening. This is actually happening time and time again, especially when the general market is stalling, especially when the blue chip names, especially and even when with the second liners are at an impasse at a particular point in which some degree of flows go into the third liner. So this pretty much is, you know, happening time and time again, not surprising at all, except that maybe volume on the retail end has improve or increase quite a bit because of the fact that a lot of these traders are at home.
Technicians like yourself tend to look at these chart patterns in an effort to assess market sentiment and overall investor behavior. We are seeing signs of trading becoming more speculative than before. You don't have to just look at Wall Street bets out in the U.S.
Yeah.
I believe Abra Mining in the Philippines that shot up by that more than doubled at one point.
Yeah.
Also, what are you telling your clients right now with regards to how they should handle their trades if they're at all attempted to get in and try to attempt some of these momentum trades? And is this something that raises major concerns as somebody who tracks market behavior as closely as you do?
I'm not really concerned if the retail public or some of my clients is going more and more into speculatives. No, not really. I mean, either way, if they profit out of it, then good for them. On the other end, if they get burned, now they know that they shouldn't shouldn't really touch. I mean, because as much as you want to tell them, no, a bit risky to go into the likes of unknown companies such like Abacor or Apollo Global, names that you wouldn't really know, I'm pretty sure that a bigger half of them would really want to, especially if they're coming from the retail, especially if they're coming from the retail end with small capital to begin. I mean, at one point I came from that. I had the same mentality with, let's say, $1,000 or $2,000 to start with. Of course, I want to get big quickly. So even if someone told me to stay away from from it, I'd go for it, right?
Hmm.
So again, if I earn from it, good for me. If I get burned, at least now I know that I shouldn't really touch. I shouldn't really touch this issue unless I'm skilled enough to maneuver these kinds of trades. So either way, it's a learning experience.
So Here's the thing, Ron. If people did want to go into this and say, the client said, hey, you know, Ron, I want to chase this dragon of some sorts, what are some of the things they can do to limit potential downside or protect themselves from potentially getting burned?
Firstly, for me, the best way to limit the risk, for example, is they shouldn't really chase a stock. So when a stock is up by 20, 30% in a day already, you know, move on to the next. Don't ride it. I mean, the train has already left. Right. So the best way, if they choose to enter such issues, is enter it when it is just starting to come off from a base. A base is just a technical term, let's say a consolidation tied within a span of time, a period of time. So when a speculative issue is just coming off a certain base, you would say that it's still relatively low, then it's better to go into that way rather than when a stock is up 30, 40, 50% already. Let it go and move on to the next.
Interesting advice there, Ron. We're still need to run a call by the chief investment strategist for a Trading Edge out in Manila here and across the ASEAN. Now, Ron, another thing that we've seen over the last 2 weeks, the retail traders on Wall Street seem to have a bone to pick with short sellers. And it's interesting because the timing of this also, because it's coming at a time when the PSE has recently said that despite all of the criticism of short selling, they're still sticking to the plan to introduce short selling into the Philippines after years of discussion. Now, what are your thoughts? Do you think that as an investor, do you think that short selling is a tool of evil as some of these Reddit retail traders believe it to be, or does it actually have a function for the markets? Share with us your opinion.
Well, firstly, you mentioned it after decades of planning that the PSE is finally, I guess, considering to lay out and start short selling for this year. That's so. But to be honest, it was actually about 10 years ago when I was still working as a fund manager for a bank that the PSE, I was already supposedly in the process of implementing it. And as you know, fast forward to today, it still hasn't for some reason. Personally, I'm not really excited nor looking forward to it. In any case, should this year be that year, it's not going to be as dramatic as, say, what happened to the likes of GME.
GameStop or AMC, for instance.
Yeah, GameStop as what happened with GameStop. Firstly, the plan is to just institute short selling with blue chip stocks. So with blue chip stocks, it's very difficult to see a scenario when the stock would be squeezed out and it return surge by 50, 100, 200, 300%. Why? Because a blue chip stock, as you know, is very heavy, highly liquid, and widely held. So it's very difficult to squeeze short sellers out of their position to lead it to a spike. Now, in regards to your question as to does it have a function or not, I believe, yes, sure. Why? Because if you believe that, for example, a stock has value relative to what it's trading now, and you go long to try to take advantage of the value that it's giving now, same thing on the other end. If you think that a particular stock is overvalued, then you should be able to take advantage of it by going against it. And the way to do that is by going short or buying put options. Options, we don't have that here in the Philippines also. So that's out of the question.
So Ron, going back to this, I mean, what is your opinion on short selling? Do you think people are being a little too hard on short selling, or is it something that's more nefarious? What is your thoughts? Are you for or against short selling? I mean, does it have a position in markets or use in the markets?
I'm actually for it because, like you said, it provides the other end of the equation. It, you know, acts as a balancing mechanism. It actually, while it may appear that it creates volatility, on the other end, you may argue that it actually creates stability in some way. The only way that price movements get exaggerated when exaggerated is because when short selling is applied on illiquid stocks, and that is actually what happened with GameStop, with the likes of Nokia, with the likes of AMC. Those are not really fairly, but very illiquid stocks. So it's very difficult not to get squeezed out of your position if, let's say, a group of buyers decided to corner the stock. It's very easy to corner an illiquid stock, right? Because there's just little float. So that's why I guess it's good that the PSE is going to start it and implement it still with blue chips rather than implement it across the board.
And very quickly, Ron, just to ask you before we end this interview also, we did mention about the PSE starting to seem a little stuck around that 7,200 level. In fact, we're seeing it tend to have second guess itself around that 7,100, 7,150 level in recent months. Give us your latest technical outlook for the PSEI. What are the charts telling you at the moment?
Well, looking at it long term, looking at it from a long term perspective, as you know, the index, after suffering a massive decline, has rallied all the way to a new 11 month or 12 month high of around 7.3, about three or four weeks ago, before stalling at its present level of around 7,000. And the reason why, aside from the fundamental merit that I mentioned a while ago, was on the technical end, the 7,300 level was actually a major resistance because previously it acted as a long-term support. Long-term, what I mean is it acted as a seven-year support of a previous general range. So given its duration of 7 years in the past, the 7,300 level acted and held as a support, it will actually take several attempts, several rallies against this particular level before it can successfully hurdle it. So far, it's still the second month of the year. I'd say we'd remain below this level for at least a month or two more before we can finally surpass this particular level.
So borders to the PSEI's potential upside, it seems, for the short term. We'd like to thank Mr. Ron Acoba, the Chief Investment Strategist for Trading Edge out in Manila, for joining us today on Across the ASEAN. Ron, as always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these uncertain times and a blessed rest of the week ahead. Thanks again for dropping by, sir. We look forward to talking to you again.
Sure, JP, anytime. Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.